What a presence of the Lord. Aren't you thankful? Oh, there's a song, I think Ron Canole wrote it and sang it. Anointing, fall on me. That's all it says through the whole song. Anointing, fall on me. Let the Holy Ghost fall. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall upon me. Anointing, fall on me. That's my prayer for us this morning as we get into this word. And Father, bless this in your name, we ask. Amen and amen. If you would turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 1, we're going to start with 1 and read 3 or 4 verses here. And this will be very brief. There is now, I think it says there is therefore now. I have a misprint here, I'm sorry. There is therefore, I left the word out, therefore, and that's important because the previous chapter, we'll talk about that in just a minute. Paul laid the reason down for why there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law of sin and death could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law of the Spirit of life might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's a mouthful, isn't it? We've got pages stuck together. I was drawn to this passage. Everybody knows that in chapter, I did turn it off. Am I too loud? You want me to move it? Is it too loud? No? Okay. In chapter 7, which we're not going to read today, but I'm sure you're all familiar, that Paul identifies the power of the flesh and the inadequacies of the law of sin and death to conquer that flesh, to control it. He says, the thing I want to do, I can't do. I do exactly the opposite of what I want to do. Utter failure to control the flesh. But in chapter 8, he compares that law with the aspects of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, which we can see are polar opposites of each other. Verses 1 and 2 tells us that the law of sin and death was too weak to control the flesh because sin had already come to the earth by the time the law was given to Moses, as you know. Hard to concentrate on this with the anointing so heavy. And that the hold that sin had would not permit the flesh to obey the law. Mydake's Bible notes, and it has a list of the strength and weaknesses of these two laws compared to each other. I'm just going to read a couple of these things out of this list. The law of sin and death has 15 things that it could not do because it was too weak through the flesh. It could not justify. It could not redeem. It could not free from condemnation and curses. It could not give inheritance. It could not impart the Holy Spirit. It could not impart faith or perform miracles, or make one perfect or enable man to obey. But in verses 1 and 2 also tells us that because of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, for those who follow after him, there is no condemnation. Now listen, today we call this shame, don't we? We've seen it, we've heard it, we've felt it, or we call it cancel culture if you want to be politically up to date. But the scripture tells us there is no shame for those who follow Christ. The list of 34 things that the law of Spirit of life in Christ can do for the believer is all inclusive. I've only listed a few of them here. If you have a Dakes Bible or you want to look at mine, you're welcome to that because it makes a beautiful study. Redemption, freedom, freedom from condemnation, spirit in life, truth, faith, wisdom, hope, resurrection, joy, liberty, power, the nearness to God, oh my goodness, perfection in him, eternal life, grace, and salvation. That gulf between these two polar opposite laws. This is the message this morning. That gulf, that distance between these two. And the only thing that could span that distance was the love of God and the sacrifice of his son. So what does Paul mean by the Spirit of life in Christ? That is the Holy Spirit that works through the redemption of Christ to make us free from and cancels out the law of sin and death, which was a surety for all without Christ. Later in the chapter, Paul says that the Spirit helps our weaknesses. Christ made strong in our weakness. When we can't, he can. And he utters intercessions and groanings that cannot be uttered by anyone else but Christ on our behalf according to the will of God. Towards the end of chapter 8, around verse 35, Paul asks the question, who can separate us from the love of Christ? It isn't tribulation because he'd seen plenty. It isn't distress because he'd been distressed more than any. It's not persecution because he was persecuted and mistreated so badly. Not famine, not nakedness, peril, or even the sword. For all these trials and tribulations, he says, now listen, who can lay a charge to God's elect? Who can bring shame or cancel culture or anything else against God's elect? No, because it is God who justifies. So that even when we must cross these paths of these tribulations and distresses and persecutions, we are more than conquerors through Christ. And Paul concludes with this. For I am persuaded, I have no doubt in my mind, that neither death, nor life, nor fallen angels, nor principalities, which we are fighting so vehemently in the spirit today, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. And he's not done yet. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. We're not victims. He's telling us here, We are not victims. You can't be a victim and a conqueror at the same time. No, we're not canceled. We are not shamed, because in him, his strength is made perfect in our weakness, and we are conquerors in Christ, because he spanned that gulf between the law of sin and death to give us the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. As I was preparing this, and I told you it's short, it's over, the Lord impressed me with the words of a song you all know. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, that mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. And pardon there was multiplied to me, and there my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. If you would stand, and if you want to grab a book, if you don't know it, we just need to come to him and trust him and receive it. Okay.
Years I spent in vanity.
thankful that love drew that plan and it spanned that gulf that we could not on our own. Father, we thank you today, Lord, for your beautiful, beautiful presence and sweet aroma of the Holy Spirit. We just thank you, Lord. And I pray, God, that you go with each one with anointing and with the remembrance, oh God, of that love and that span that you crossed for us with the life of Christ. Thank you, Father. We give you praise and glory for all things from your hand. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.